Glassdoor versus Andra, which is another Supreme Court case this year. This dealt with a defamation issue. So Glassdoor is a website that allows people to post reviews and all sorts of things. And so current and former, presumably current and former employees of Andra posted some very negative reviews of Andra on the Glassdoor site. So Andra wanted to do some discovery and figure out who is it that's posting this so that basically we can sue them for defamation. So it sought pre-suit depositions to obtain the identities of those individuals who had posted. Glassdoor opposed the pre-suit discovery and filed a TCPA, Texas Citizens Participation Act, motion to dismiss. And you'll hear a lot about TCPA and anti-SLAPP later in the conference, as well as some of the cases we're going to talk about. But in any event, the trial court denied the motion, but it said, I'm going to limit the depositions to basically two posts from 2014. Well, the problem was those two posts from 2014 were more than a year before Andra had initiated its action, and we all know a defamation statute of limitations is 1 year. So the Texas Supreme Court first said, no, you don't get to do pre-suit discovery because there's a one-year limitations period, and you're beyond that. But it also weighed in on an issue that's interesting, which is whether, because Andrew was arguing, well, it's republished every time somebody goes onto that site and reviews those negative reviews. So that's a republication that institutes a new statute of limitations, essentially. The Supreme Court said, no, there is no republication for defamation purposes in that scenario. Every time, there's just no republication every time the site grants access to a user. The publication is the publication that occurred when the review was first posted. So interesting case, again, from a defamation perspective, if you have those types of claims. Okay. Another case, and this also is not an employment case, but I included it because it can, in fact, have a lot of application in our world, since we know that particularly for statutory claims, there is the opportunity for attorney's fees, or if you're dealing with written employment agreements, you often have fee shifting or attorney's fees provisions. So this case involved a lease agreement between the parties that included a fee shifting provision where the prevailing party would be entitled to recover reasonable attorney's fees from the non-prevailing party. So pretty common. All right, UTSW here was the plaintiff in the lawsuit. And it obtained a finding in its favor, but it received no damages. But it also obtained a take-nothing judgment on a counterclaim that Rormos Venture had brought. So the court concluded it was the prevailing party for purposes of the fee-shifting provision. So then its lawyer, UTSW's lawyer, testified at length about his attorney's fees and what the attorney's fees were. And as a result of his testimony, the court awarded $800,000 in attorney's fees, and then some additional conditional fees on appeal. Well, the value of the dispute was $300,000. So you can see that's we're talking more than double the dispute value for attorney's fees. But you read, and I really commend you to read this opinion, because it really is a very thorough discussion of attorney's fees and lodestar and all of that sort of stuff that comes into play when you're requesting attorney's fees. And this individual, the lawyer involved in this case, had some pretty in-depth testimony about what his attorney's fees are. He testified what his reasonable, what his hourly rate was. He said, okay, ordinarily, this case is a $300,000 attorney's fees case, $300,000 to $400,000. But because it was so contentious, because the opposite side fought everything, because they produced, zillions of documents that I had to review, this is really an $800,000 case. And lots of testimony to that effect. Well, the message at the end from the Texas Supreme Court is, it's not what you think it is or what it should be, it's what it is. And you should actually submit your records and show us what you actually did, not what you think the value of your attorney's fees are, or not what somebody else may perceive them to be. You can't just come in and say, well, ordinarily I would have charged $300,000 for this, but here I charge $600,000. You need to show what your actual rate is, obviously, what the reasonable hours you worked in the case. You multiply that, then you do the load, that's the lodestar, then you do the modification factors. But here the mistake this lawyer made Wade was not actually saying what his actual time was and what he actually did. All right, so let's move away from the Texas Supreme Court cases, and we'll talk about some of the various appellate court cases. And I think this one, to me, is the most interesting one, the Bell Helicopter versus Burnett decision out of the Fort Worth Court of Appeals. This was an individual, Burnett, who worked for Bell Helicopter since he was, you know, in his early 20s. He worked a series of jobs that were covered by the collective bargaining agreement, so he was a union employee represented in different positions. He ultimately was promoted or transferred into a non-union position.